Or for that. If you have your Bible, please turn to Isaiah chapter number 55, the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. If you will turn there, I want to say I've enjoyed all the special singing today. It's always a blessing to hear people use the talent that God has given them to honor the Lord with. Give everyone an opportunity to find Isaiah chapter number 55, a very familiar chapter in the Bible. Once you find your place, if you would, please stand. Hasn't the testimonies of praising God been good this morning?
Amen.
The good singing. Aren't you glad that you get to come to church and hear people sing like these ladies and gentlemen sing? I'm thankful. I'm tired of hearing my singing. My singing discourages me. I'm glad when I can come to church and hear folks that God has talented sing for the Lord. It just blesses my heart. And it's not just the sound, but it's the conviction in which it is sang with. I appreciate folks who live what they sing. Don't you? I do. But you know, now we have God's word open before us. And God has a word for us this morning. He does. The question is not, will God speak to us this morning? The question truly is will I receive what God has for me this morning? God has something for you. He does. I found it to be so that if I will come with a willing heart, with a humble spirit, God always has something for me. He's a good God that way. And I'm a needy man that way. And I'm just thankful that God has something for us. I don't want to live on cheap substitutes. I just don't. I need that fresh manna. I need something that's real. And I believe I'm speaking to a group of people this morning that feel the same way I do. Brethren, we need something fresh, something real, something that this world cannot produce, something that this flesh cannot manufacture. And I'm glad we have it. And God wants to give you something from it this morning. He does. I just really hope. That each of us truly understands how blessed we are to be able to hold a copy of God's word.
Amen.
In our hands. There are people who gathered, depending on where they are around the world, yesterday, or they're gathering now, or they'll gather sometime before this day is over, tomorrow, depending on where they are. And they will gather around a portion, maybe just a torn page from the Bible. And they'll want to read it over and over again because they know that is the Word of God. God's word is something that my soul hungers for. God help us in this land of abundance and plenty in which we live to hunger and thirst after his word again. God help us. In Isaiah 55, I'm going to read the first three verses, and I'd ask you to follow as I read. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he
that hath no money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What a passage of Scripture. What an invitation that God has given. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to bow with me, and we're going to pray, and I want to try to give you some truth from this that God has spoke to my heart about in the last several days. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we have come before you, we humble ourselves in your sight. God, help us to hear what the Spirit saith to the church today. Lord, I know you have something for us. Help me, Lord. I'm not capable of giving what you can give. Give it through me. The best I know how, Lord, I yield myself. I place myself into your care, under your authority. And I pray that you would preach through me what thus saith the Lord. Give us something that would feed our hungry souls. God, that would give us to drink, to quench the thirst of our hungry souls and our thirstiness, Lord. We need you in this hour. We pray that you would manifest yourself to us and give us a word, Lord, that would help us in this journey that we are on. Thank you for the promise of your presence. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to give you a little backdrop as to why Isaiah opens up chapter 55 and the way in which he does. If you'll turn back just for a moment with me, and I'll not spend too much time here because I have some truths from chapter 55, but I think that it's important that we see what led to this great invitation. It's one of the greatest invitations, not just in the Bible, but in the world. Here's a God, and he's calling on people, and he's saying, I'm seeking you. You come to me. Aren't you glad God seeks man? I'm glad God sought me. You know, if we're not careful, we'll think it's our place to go find God. But I want to tell you something. God came and found you. God is looking for people. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which is lost. When Adam sinned in the garden, in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says that God went to commune with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. And Adam had sinned, he and Eve, and they had ran. They had tried to cover their sin with fig leaves or with leaves of the trees. And the scripture says that they went and they hid themselves among the trees. And God went out and he called unto Adam. And he said with a voice of compassion and a concern, he said, Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to realize where he was. He wanted Adam to realize that he's not in the place that he should have been. That God wanted Adam to realize he was not in the place that he intended for him to be. He had lost something, he and Eve.
I'm glad God searches for old sinners, aren't you? I'm glad God comes after us. And the reason that God does is really laid plain here in chapter 53. I'm not going to go into great detail, but if you look at verse number 3, it's speaking about the servant. It's speaking about the Savior. And it said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it came to my attention several years ago that there are two alls in this verse. The first is speaking of us, that all we like sheep, brethren, all of us have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What a dismal, dark, desperate picture that paints of mankind. But I'm glad that God didn't leave us in our sin. I'm glad that God, before the foundation of the world, had a plan to recover and reclaim, restore sinful man. Aren't you? I thank God for that. And so the scripture ends in verse number 6. It says, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord hath laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. That's the second all. Thank God Jesus died for us all. Amen. We've all sinned, and Jesus has died for us all. All the sin of all of man was laid on Jesus at Calvary. My mind cannot wrap around that. My mind cannot comprehend it. But I sure am glad my soul, through Jesus Christ, has experienced the fact that Jesus died there on that tree for me. For me, brethren. For me, personally. Yes, he died for the sin of the whole world. But I'm glad that I can make it personal by repenting of my sin and claiming that his death and his burial and his resurrection was for me. Me. And then he said in verse number 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And so this is saying that Jesus bore the sin of all of mankind. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He went on to say in chapter number 3 and verse number 18, for Christ, he died, the just for the unjust. Did you get it? Jesus didn't die for his sin. He was perfect. He died for our sin. He died for my sin, your sin. Jesus knew no sin. He never thought a bad thought, never took a step out of the will of God, never done anything wrong. Think about that for a moment. Perfect, brethren, perfect. And yet the Bible says in verse number 8, the last part of that says that he was cut off from the land of the living. You see that in verse number 8? That means Jesus died. And he did. And as I've said for you, he didn't die for his sin. He died for mine. He died for yours. The Bible says that he was made an offering in verse number 10. His soul was made an offering for sin. It says in verse number 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Again, Isaiah is saying through the prophecy of Jesus about the Messiah that is to come, about the Christ that would be born into this world to bear the sin of all of mankind, he's saying that he didn't die for his iniquities. He died for their iniquities, your iniquities, my iniquities. But I thank God that in verse number 12, he didn't stay dead. It says in verse number 12, therefore will I divide a portion, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Now, why would you divide a portion with a dead person? Because he's not staying dead. 3 days later, praise God, he got up from the grave. Amen. And so Isaiah in chapter 53 says, I want you to understand that God has a plan to reverse the curse. God has a plan to to redeem the lost, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ. It's a full picture of that. Now, in chapter 54, I'm just going to give you two verses. It says, now here's some of the things that will happen as a result of that. And he said in verse number 2 and 3, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth thy curtains, the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. What he is saying is, Israel, you're going to be enlarged, and God's going to build something outside of you, because God has a plan for the Gentile nations. And he said in verse number 3, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. You're going to be enlarged. God's going to use you to usher in a different people. And the Bible says that people is going to be his seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Aren't you glad that God grafted us in, brethren? Aren't you glad that God had a plan for those outside of the Jewish covenant, outside of the commonwealth of Israel? Aren't you thankful for that? I hope you understand how blessed you are this morning. We're blessed people. God included us. I'm thankful for that. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad that God had me in mind when he sent Jesus to die for my sin, the Gentiles. Now, verse 50, chapter 55, verse 1. You see, now Isaiah can write, ho, look at this, everyone, ho, everyone that is thirsty. Amen. Not just those of the Jewish nation, not just those of the promise of the loins of Abraham, right? Everyone. The invitation is extended. The word ho is a very interesting word. Like so many of the words in our vocabulary, it has been drugged through the mud, kind of like gay. There was a day when you could say gay and you wouldn't think of vice and immorality and wickedness. The same with this word. This is a very powerful word, and it's not to be used in any way to describe an immoral or to describe an act of desecration. Notice what he said here in verse number 55. He said, ho, the word there, it means listen. Give your diligent attention. This is important. God is saying, Isaiah, tell them to woe. Tell them to ho. Tell them to slow down. Tell them to look up. Tell them to listen intently. Tell them this is urgent. And when you look the word up, I encourage you to do so. It has a little bit of pain in it. When you look at what the Strong's Concordance says about this Hebrew word, it has some pain. It has some longing. It has some urgency. It's God saying to man, ho, I've got something for you. I created you for me, and me for you. I'm here for you. Don't you go through life without me. Don't you attempt to live your life that I have given as a gift. Don't you attempt to live it without me. Hold there. You're going the wrong way. Ho, you're taking the wrong path. Ho, you're not doing it right. You're trying to live life the way God never intended it to be lived. And he said, ho, everyone, everyone. Now, when I read this passage, there's three questions that come to my mind, and I'm going to use the next minutes to answer those questions. And I hope you'll follow along. I hope you'll write these questions down. Number one, who is this invitation to? Who is the invitation to? Because he didn't say, now listen to me now. While it may be broad and you could say, well, the Bible says, you know, ho everyone. It doesn't end there. He said everyone that is thirsty. Is that what the book says, brethren? You'll never realize the invitation is for you until you get thirsty. Until you're what? Look at verse 1. Till you have no money. till you're thirsty and broke. Now, it's not speaking about physical. This is spiritual. In order for you, in order for us, in order for mankind to realize what God has in store for him, what God is offering him, he must come to the place to where he realizes there's something missing. I've done some research on thirst. It's interesting, very interesting. We could have some of the medical, those in the medical field, to tell you what happens to people when they began to get into the area of severe dehydration. There are strong signals of the body that begin to alert the body and alarm the individual. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. There's signals to say you're weak from thirst. You're fatigued from thirst. You're not what you can be. You are in danger here. Your organs are not receiving the oxygenation that they need to receive because of what water takes to them. Your blood is not flowing the way it should flow because of the water and the blood. You need a drink. You need some water. You need some refreshment. You need some revival. You need some restoration. You need something. Amen. Oh, everyone that is thirsty, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Aren't you glad for that invitation? Praise God. God said, you need something, and I've got what you need. That's what he's saying, brethren. And then he said in verse number 1, he said, and he that hath no money. You've got to be broke now. You'll never go to God and get and do business with God as long as you're taking what you can do. As long as you take your money, and I don't mean dollar bills. I know what Isaiah is speaking of here. He's just saying, listen, you've got to leave your personal resources out of it. It's not what you can do. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's without money and it's without price. What God has to offer, man cannot manufacture. Man cannot buy it. Brethren, can I tell you, just like this body needs water, we'll shut down and even die. They say that if you go about 3 days without water, you're in danger. You can go 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, maybe 6 days or seven without food, maybe longer without food. But you go 3 days without water and you're in danger. There are major things will begin to happen in your system. It'll begin to go into shutdown and your body will begin to cry out. You'll begin to thirst. You'll begin to parch. And can I tell you, there's somebody maybe here today, your life is dry and parched and barren and empty and lonely. And just like the heart panteth after the water brook, your soul is panting after God. And you're saying, God, I need you. God, I need you to do something special in my life. I'm dry. I'm barren. And it may be somebody that's lost without Jesus. I don't know. But you know, it could be somebody that's saved. Somebody that has tasted of the water of life. Somebody that has been to the well. Somebody that Jesus has given that water that will help you to never thirst again. But you have set aside the cistern. You have set aside the things that God has given. And you have gone your own way headlong in pride and arrogance and disobedience. And God has put a thirsting in your soul and where you would realize, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And that's real. And I think sometimes we kind of go through life flippantly and casually and we just don't take this thing very serious. Can I tell you, God is serious. The scripture says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. You thirsty? You thirsty? Now, this is not a physical. This is a spiritual need. Oftentimes in the scripture, when the Bible speaks of thirst, it's talking about a spiritual need. Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul longeth for God. It's panting for God. Listen, I just wish God would help us to where we would just pant and thirst for him. Amen? And then he said, in verse number 1, he said, now, you don't have any money. You're broke. Say, preacher, I have a lot of money. Well, the money that you have cannot buy what you need. Now, listen, until you realize what it is to have what money cannot buy, I'm not sure you will really, really understand what life is all about. As long as you approach life and go through life realizing that what I need, my money can buy, I do not think you will ever, ever understand what God can fully and completely do for you. Until we come broke before God and say, God, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. God, I don't have anything to bring to you except for a broken, needful individual. God, do something for me. And so he said in verse number 1, he said, come ye, he that hath no money. And he said, I want you to buy. How am I going to buy it with no money? Well, we'll talk about that. And he said, I want you to buy, and I want you to yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God said, I got something I want to give you. Now, you can't buy it. Your money's no good. There is no price on this. There's not enough money to buy what God wants to give us. Amen? Amen. But, you know, there's a second crowd that God said, and a group of people that God said, I want to help some people. God said, I want to do something for you. And he said, are you thirsty? Is your soul sending warning signals like your body does when you get low on fluids? Is your soul yearning, longing? You know there's something out of sorts. You realize, you know, there's just something not right in my life. Aren't you glad that God allows those warning signs in our lives? Aren't you glad for that? I thank God for that. I'm so thankful that God will let me know, listen, there's something missing. There's something missing. Could there be someone here this morning that God would whisper to you from his word, there's something missing? You say, but now, preacher, I'm saved, and I'm glad. But could there be someone here that God is saying and speaking to you, saying, now there's something missing. There's something missing. There's more. There's more. Right? What do you mean, preacher? Well, we're getting ready to get a biblical analogy. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they came out from under through the blood of the Passover lamb. Is that right? Right? Now, was that all they needed? Well, that set them free, didn't it? It set them free. It got them out of Egypt. But God has something more for them. He said, I've got a land for you. I've got a place for you. It's a land, now don't miss this, flowing with milk, which is mentioned here, and honey. And when you study in Numbers, you'll find they also brought some grapes out of Eshcol, the brook there. And, I mean, that's where they got the wine from. That's where they got some exhilaration. It's mentioned here. I don't think it's by accident. I really don't. And then there's milk. And there's wine. And there's water. And God said, you come and I'll give you some things that's good for the journey. But you got to come now. Thirsty. Thirsty. You know the problem in America today? I can only speak for what I see in America. And I'll just go on and say, in our churches even, we're not thirsty anymore. I find myself not very thirsty. Well, if you're not careful, you can go a day and drink very little water. And then the next day and drink very little. And before you know it now, there'll be some things start happening. Your kidneys won't be filtering as they should. Your blood won't be oxygenated as it should. And there are some things that will begin to happen to the essential organs of our bodies. And we'll begin to grow tired and weary. And all we'll be seeking is rest. I want to translate that into the spiritual realm. When we go without fellowship with God and we go without communion with God day after day, or limited communion, and for long we get weary and we get frustrated and we get tired and we grow restless, agitated in life. And we wonder, what's wrong with me? Well, I'll let you decide. I can't tell you what's wrong with you, but the Spirit of God can. What's wrong with our churches, brethren? Say, oh, preacher, we're okay. I'm not okay with average. I'm not everybody gets a trophy guy. They kicked me out of coaching. Hey, man, I'll throw all them trophies away. I don't get participation for trophies. Right? I read the story about a man who was coaching and the team didn't win a game all year. Now, they had been used to getting trophies. And so they shipped him his trophies and he threw them in the garbage can. And the team came that night and expecting, you know, boy, this is when we kind of get our accolades, and, you know, 0-12 or 0-15. I don't know that there's very many accolades. But, you know, we're going to get our trophy. And so he just said, well, he said, we don't have any trophies. And one of the parents spoke and said, you know, why did my son get a trophy? He said, because he's a loser. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, that's hard. Well, I'm not saying we're losers, so don't get excited. But I am saying this. I'm saying this, brethren. We need something that only God can give. You get all the... You can get all the things that man can heap on you, that you can manufacture yourself, but until we get what we need from God, we're always going to be searching. And that leads us to verse number 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not? This is really interesting. Bread. So, the first question, who is the invitation to? Well, to the thirsty. To the broke, but to this crowd too, this group. Did you notice what he said they were trying to buy? Bread. You're spending your money trying to buy bread. You know what Deuteronomy 8, verse number 3 says? God said, you know, I brought you out of that land of Egypt, and I fed you. And I humbled you because I wanted you to realize man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, why are you trying to buy something to replace what God wants to do in your life? Why are you seeking and searching and chasing after things that only God can provide? The next one won't do it. This one didn't. The next one won't. The next loaf won't do it. This one didn't do it. Amen? Well, I'll just get something different. I'll get something new. Yeah, our closets are full. Our garages are full. Our storage units are full. And we're still searching. Still searching. Why? God said, well, I'll ask you why. Look what he said in verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You're not going to find your satisfaction in those things. I'm speaking to me as well as you. That's not where fulfillment and purpose comes from. You cannot find your purpose in a thing, in the next purchase. I'll just do away with the old and get me something new, and then it'll get old. I'll just get something new, and then it'll get old. Sooner or later, the new gets old, and the options become fewer and fewer. We need something lasting. We need something that's going to meet the need that we have in our heart, brethren. You've heard it said before. There's a vacuum in every human heart that is shaped only as Jesus can fill. We need Jesus, amen. Man shall not live by bread alone. Why are you seeking that man cannot live by? God never intended that. He didn't. but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's where our emphasis ought to be. That's where our attention ought to be. That's where our thirst ought to be turned. Right? Our hearts. So the first group doesn't have money. They're broke. They're thirsty. You know what the second group does? They spend all theirs for things that won't help. They just continue to buy the things that are not going to fill the longing. I'm not opposed to people having things. You know that. You know that. You know what I'm preaching this morning. You know what I'm inferring and I'm telling you this book says. There's nothing wrong with you having possessions. You just don't let possessions have you. Don't you sell out now. Don't you get satisfied. God help me. I don't want to get satisfied with these cheap substitutes of the world and the devil. I don't want that. But I got to tell you, in the land of abundance in which we live, it's becoming increasingly more difficult. And with each generation, I think it becomes even more so difficult. Now, don't you leave the church service this morning and say, well, you know, the preacher down at Fellowship said that we ought to sell it all. I didn't say that. I'm saying, don't you sell your soul for it. That's what he said. Look at verse 1. Come. At the first of the verse. In the middle of the verse. Come ye. And then he said, yea, come. 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 I've got something for you. I'm calling to you. He's saying, listen. Look at verse number 2. He said, Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Look at that next phrase. Hearken diligently unto me. Listen closely now, church. God has a word for you. All right? You thirsty? God said, I'll quench it. I've got something for you. You need something? You needy? God said, I've got what you need. And he said, when you come, I want you to know that I'll give you this. Write these down. Number one, water. I cannot, because of time, if I would hope that you would take, this would whet your appetite enough where you would take some time to either speak to some in this building that has some medical background or you do the research your own of the necessity of water. We need water. And that's what God is offering. He said, what? He said, come ye, look at verse number 1. Come ye what? To the waters. Come. It's an essential to life. Can I tell you, God is too? And he said in verse number 1, come to the waters. Look at verse number 3. Incline your ear and quat. Come unto me. I am the water. Right? You come. I'm the source of water. I'm the wine. The wine is that it's exhilarating. Wine in the Bible is a picture of joy and jubilance and gladness. Your tired soul, your empty soul, your lonely soul will find joy in the Lord. Come. Come to me. I'll give you something worth living for. Thank God for the day that Jesus Christ gave me something worth living for. Amen. A purpose. Aren't you glad for that? I know you are. I know you are. So he said, come. He said, I have water. I have wine. I have milk. You know what milk does? Milk strengthens. Remember when they came out of Canaan's land, they were trying to tell Joshua, woo, what a land over there. Wow, this land is flowing with what? Milk and honey. Milk for the strength, honey for the sweetness. I got to tell you, when you get hooked up with God the right way, he'll give you strength for the days. He'll strengthen that old bitter, cantankerous spirit. and make you the person that he intended you to be. Aren't you glad God can do that? God can make the undesirable desirable, the unclean clean, the impure pure. God can do it. But now you got to come. He said, I've got something for you. So the first question, who's invited? Everyone that is thirsty and broke, and those that are chasing things that will never fulfill. You're spending your money, your time, your energy, your labor on things that will never fill the need. Come. Come. What we're going to get when we come? Water. The essentials to life. Water. Wish I had time to go into, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's something about the water of the word that cleanses. When you drink a lot of water, it'll flush those toxins out of your life. You listening? It'll invigorate. It'll cleanse. He said, you come to this water. Take that milk for strength and health. And take that wine for joy and gladness. That's the second question. What is the benefit to coming? You get all of this without money and without price. Well, how am I going to buy it, preacher? He said, buy it. Look, he said in verse 1, he said, come with no money, but buy. That's right. This is the way it looks right here. I remember when I went to the cross, I got to the cross, and I didn't know, and I was ignorant. I didn't know. It's not that I wasn't told. I'm just a blind old soul. And I went to the cross, and I was reaching in my pocket like, well, let's see now. Let me see if I don't have to, what this is going to cost me. It's like a big old loving, compassionate hand out of heaven. Reached down and said, no, no, no. Your money won't spend here. No, no. This has been paid for already. You just take it. It's already been paid for. Paid for? Yeah, in full. It's been paid in full. Are you listening? That's what, I believe that's what he's implying. You go to buy, here it is. Well, no, it's been paid in full. You know what I did? I took it. I believe that. I believe, well, yeah, it is paid in full. You know what that's called? Faith. Trust. I trusted that it had been paid in full. By the way, that's the only way you can get saved. Is to know your sin debt's been paid by the Lord Jesus. And so he said, you come, and yeah, you go ahead and you buy, but it's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. Right? Let me close with this. Question number one, who's it extended to? Everyone that thirsteth and is broke and is searching. You searching this morning? Are you here and you've never been saved? You say, you know, there's something missing. Can I tell you, 20 years from now, if you stay in the condition you're in, if you're alive, there'll still be something missing. There's nothing you're going to do to fill that void. Oh, I will too, preacher. Yeah, go ahead now, foolish little one. We'll see how that works out for you. God is always right. And I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm just being factual and true and straightforward. Because I want you to realize God loves you so much. And don't you listen to those voices that are telling you you are enough. You are not enough. He is enough. You are inadequate in and of yourself, like all of us. So you come now. Ho. Ho. Stop right there. Turn. Come. Come. That's who the invitation is to. Number two, what's in it for me? What am I going to get if I come? All the water you can drink. It's pure too. Wine and the milk, you're going to find what you have been longing for all of your life. You say, is all that in water and wine and milk? Well, look at verse 3. The imagery is swept away and God just gets real and says, here it is, you come to me. The imagery is just speaking of me, what I can help you. I'm just trying to put myself on your level so you can realize what you will get when you come to me. Why? Well, because He said down, if you would, in verse number 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. He said, I'm breaking this down for you so you can understand what I have for you. You got it? Let's answer that third question. What have I got to do to get this? What have I got to do? Well, three times, he said, listen. You said, well, all I got to do is come. Well, no, that's not the first thing you do. Look what he said. Don't miss it now. Look at verse number 2. He said, hearken diligently unto me. Look at verse number 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Isn't that something? Listen, listen, listen. Hear, hear, listen, listen. God's speaking to you. Now, don't listen to the preacher only. There's a voice much more powerful and penetrating than my voice. There's a voice of God that is speaking to someone this morning, and God is saying, come. I know you're weary. I know you're heavy laden. I know you're searching. I know you're longing. You're empty. I know. Come. I have something for you. God is good that way, isn't he? Got to listen. And then in verse number 2, he said, not only that, but you've got to eat. In verse number 2, he said, hearken diligently unto me. You see it there, the latter part, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight. He says, you come, you'll eat. You'll listen, you'll come, you'll eat, and you will enjoy. You will delight. Well, God's been speaking to my heart about this. I've been hearing him call. Come. Come. Now, you can't talk about it only. I'm one that sometimes will talk about it. I am. I'm just being transparent with you. I'll talk about it. I need to go to God. I need to follow his instruction and come. I need the secret place. I need my quiet time. I need my devotional time. I need just to get away from the noise of all the voices that are trying to tell me they are the answer. But there's a still small voice that said, no, you come. You come. God is the answer. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, if you would, just for a moment.